Welcome to the Development Podcast, a podcast that offers practical strategies to further develop yourself, your organization, and those around you. Learn how to maximize your influence by hearing from entrepreneurs, industry professionals, and business leaders share about their ideas and experiences. I'm your host, Martin Manosalvis. Thanks again for listening in. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining in. Today, I'm beyond thrilled to have a well-known blogger and health wellness influencer, Kira West, on my podcast to discuss wellness and passion. Kira works full-time in the travel and tech industry, has found ways to continue to travel, work out, eat healthy despite a busy schedule, and the idea to start her own blog began when people started asking her more about what she ate, where she worked out, and where she would travel next. Kira is the founder of and creator of Made by K West, a travel and wellness inspired line made to withstand all of life's adventures. As a content creator focused on travel and fitness, Kira wanted to merge her interests into the more balanced theme of wellness. So to do this, she wanted to make high quality pieces that are made to last, and her passion has led her to find her purpose, and she hopes to inspire others to find theirs. Thank you again. I'm really excited to interview you and grateful for you to be on my podcast, Kira. Thank you again and for joining. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So can you start us off with just sharing a bit about your experience within the travel and tech industry?
Absolutely. So I have worked in travel since I graduated from college. I worked for a major hotel brand on property for a number of years and now work in more of an account management capacity within the industry. I think I discovered in college that I really loved experiences and being able to be a part of that. And so I knew hospitality was the industry that I wanted to be in. I really wanted to have the tactical experience to start off with. So that's a little bit kind of about how long I've been in it. And of course, a wild year we've had with the pandemic and such, but lots of great things on the horizon.
Definitely. And so I saw that you recently started your business. And so I'm curious, you know, what led you to starting it and what have been some challenges and lessons that you've learned along the way?
Of course, I think we've all learned lots of things over the past year. So some of these things probably won't be surprising when it comes to flexibility, learning how to pivot, and just being open to change. But I started my blog now about 4 years ago. And it really just came from, you know, getting requests for similar information. Mm-hmm. I was guesting for a couple of platforms, but really wanted to be able to have control over the full narrative. So wanted to start my own and was kind of growing my Instagram influencer presence at the time. So it all came together kind of in one place. And wellness allowed me to talk about travel and fitness in the same space, which I loved. And I think now wellness itself has evolved. So I'm grateful to have been able to include the two things that really do keep me filling up my cup. And then when it comes to Made by K West, my jewelry line, I started that last year, actually during the pandemic, which was very interesting. Starting a business that has a physical product is definitely tough when there are all sorts of regulations that differ depending on where you are in the world, where you are in the country. And so I definitely faced many challenges, delays, you know, just trying to keep an eye and, you know, an ear to the ground on what was changing in what area, you know, and how it could affect my production was something that I really had to learn on the ground. And ultimately, I think getting comfortable with not being perfect, which of course is something that we all know doesn't really exist in life. But I think when it comes to launching a business, you really want to make sure that you're, you know, putting your best foot forward. However, you know, you definitely don't want to get paralyzed within that. So finding a really good middle ground is kind of what I faced and worked through.
Definitely. And I applaud you big time too for, you know, starting, especially as you were navigating through COVID. I'm sure that that in itself brought a lot of different challenges, but, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of lessons that you've picked up along the way. So that's awesome that you're able to do that. You've previously stated, I asked myself, what does a well life really look like? As I searched for these answers, I found that it's truly different for everyone. But it came down to fitness, travel, which varies in a variety of forms, like relationships and friendships and new experiences. So what is it about wellness that really brings people together?
I think that, you know, true to kind of the statement that I made, wellness really does look different for everyone. But I think on a basic sense, you know, self-care is really important. And I know that's probably an overused term now, but finding ways to pour into yourself that you can pour out for others is just super important. So I think for me, wellness really is rooted in travel. So having new experiences, being able to explore new cultures and new places, and to kind of find ways of expanding myself that way. And then when it comes to fitness, being able to kind of challenge my body and have something that I do almost on a daily basis, just to find movement and to find ways of processing things, especially some of the things that are happening in the world or even in my personal life that are quite challenging. So I would say, you know, wellness can bring us together in either of those arenas. I think, you know, you can definitely find your tribe in a sense of there are people all over the world who are interested in travel or in fitness or in, you know, defining wellness in a different way. So I love the sense of community that it can bring. But I also think there's a beautiful kind of individuality to it as well, which is really great.
Definitely. And I'm curious, what helps you, you know, sort of differentiate you know, when it comes to working hard, but making sure that you're taking time for self-care, what helps you kind of differentiate that balance? Because if I'm the type of person to want to constantly be doing a lot of things at once. And once things start getting busy and things start piling up, I tend to just do what I can to keep moving forward. But I find myself, you know, becoming drained. And so, you know, what helps you, you know, sort of identify that it's time to, you know, take a break and take some time off?
It's really tough. And I think it's different for everyone. I feel like I've learned, you know, through my physical fitness and then just in doing introspective self-work, what my boundaries should look like and how to tell if I'm really reaching a point where, you know, I really need a break. I think there's definitely been some trial and error. So there's those points where you're like, you know what, I think I can go a little more. I'm going to wait. And then, you know, you kind of either end up getting sick because you're just not giving your body the rest and nourishment it needs. So it's like telling you, okay, you need to take rest. Or, you know, you end up not really being able to balance the things that you thought you could and kind of learning that lesson the hard way. So I think, you know, again, I'm pretty in tune with myself in some of those ways, but you know, I am in a relationship, and I think one of the beautiful things about being in a partnership like the one that I'm in, my partner will let me know when my patience is wearing thin, or I can just kind of, you know, tell when you know, I'm starting to not have the bandwidth to kind of like show up at home, which is something that's really important to me. So I think I try and take stock of the feedback that I get. And I try and, you know, make use of my time. I wake up really early. I never thought I'd be one of those people. I started getting up at 5 o'clock and using that time to kind of pour into myself. It's a quiet time that is usually fairly uninterrupted. So yeah, I would say those are some of the things that I've been doing and some of the ways that I know.
Definitely. So kind of taking a step further, in an article published in Harvard Business Review, Natalina Parrott stated, "We all know that extensive stress is a health hazard. What is less talked about are the effects of burnout on business performance. Stress makes people nearly 3 times as likely to leave their jobs, temporarily impair strategic thinking, and dulls creative abilities. Burnout, then, is a threat to your bottom line, one that costs the U.S. more than $300 billion a year, and turnout and diminished productivity and medical, legal, and insurance costs, and the list can go on and on." And so I love that because I think that it illustrates well how crucial employee well-being is in the workforce. And so what do you recommend employers do to make sure that, you know, work is less stressful for their employees and more engaging for their employees?
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that wellness is really individual. So I love companies now just being more flexible. I think the flexibility is key. So whether you're a caregiver, if that's, you know, with your child or with your parent, you know, having flexibility around your schedule and your hours or having location flexibility. I know after the past year, a lot of companies are so much more open to remote work or just, again, kind of like a more flexible work from home schedule, which is great. I think those are the things that really make a difference when employees are trying to balance their lives and their productivity. I might work really well at 4 or 5 in the morning, but that doesn't mean that you need to. And you might work really well at 9 or 10 at night because that's, you know, when you have the best time to be productive. So just an example of kind of where flexibility lies. I also think too, you know, it's great when companies provide wellness resources, whether that be from a therapy perspective, or whether that just be resources that you have access to from a fitness perspective. There's a huge broad spectrum of things that companies can offer, trainings and things like that as well, to kind of help their employees get better attuned with themselves and what they might need. But ultimately, I think too, it's kind of on the person themselves to a degree to really pick companies that align with their values, and pick work that aligns with ideally what they would want to be doing. And, you know, to also kind of understand what your personal boundaries are when you're making those types of decisions, because I think it makes it a little bit easier if all those things are aligned from the get-go.
Definitely. And I like how you mentioned, you know, where your flexibility lies. And, you know, it's true. Some people work a lot better in the mornings, others in the evenings. And, you know, some people are just complete night owls. And so that's when they're more alert and they can get the most effective work done. And so that's a great way to view it, is ensuring that you're taking that into consideration as well. So moving forward, just kind of going off of your experience and your time, you know, within the marketing and tech industry, but also starting off your brand and the things that you've learned through that, can you expand more on passion and what it means to you and why is it so crucial to have?
Of course. I think it's so important, and I'm grateful to be multi-passionate in that, you know, I've been able to explore quite a few different things and really develop, you know, in some different areas after having explored quite a few. It's important to, you know, consider that work is easier when you're driven and excited about it. And I think that's just what passion is summarizing. For me, you know, my passion and the way that I view success is really tied to impact. And I've learned that, you know, across the different things that I've done, whether it be, you know, my community or my blog or my business, you know, I'm really looking at what the impact is and how I'm continuing to drive that. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, why I'm so passionate about it. So I would say, you know, it makes things a lot easier in terms of, you know, it's not always easy and there are challenges when you're starting a new business or just delving into something new. And so I think, you know, having that passion really gives you kind of the will to keep going when it is tough, which is really nice. But yeah, I think passion can be different for everyone and it can definitely change. I will say, you know, some of the things that I'm passionate about now are not necessarily the same as they were when I was in high school or in the beginning of college. So I feel like sometimes we don't expect our passions to evolve as we do, but of course it's natural.
Definitely.
For them to kind of come with us along that journey.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly couldn't agree more with that. I agree that that's what's really going to drive you at the end of the day. And, you know, there are going to be some mornings where you'll wake up and, you know, you may not always be as motivated, but that's what's going to drive you. It's going to take a lot of discipline to keep moving forward. But passion is what, you know, you have your mind sort of set on and you know why you're doing what you're doing. And so it really helps a lot and it keeps you on track of where you ultimately want to go. So I love how you phrase that. In an article focused on passion from the Entrepreneur magazine, Francesco Garcia stated, "There are people who love to sing and whose passion is to play soccer, but that is not enough. If you want to be successful, you have to be talented. Talents are different for everyone, and discovering yours can be the most defining moment of your existence. Talents are natural to us. We were born with them, and it's our duty to develop them." And so I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on that quote, and would you say, you know, passion and talents work hand in hand?
It's an interesting quote. I think that there are some things that some people are innately better at than mm-hmm. others. And I think when it comes to something like singing or professional sport, there definitely is an element of, you know, a knack for whatever is at the fundamental of that. And so I definitely agree with that piece. I do think, you know, the younger you start learning certain things, the easier it can be. I mean, the more that you commit yourself to those early, you know, the easier it is that you'll be able to kind of develop a certain talent. But I do believe that success comes from kind of a mixture of the two, or, you know, being able to be self-aware enough that, you know, if you're interested in singing, but maybe that's not quite your talent, that you get the vocal support to get you from point A to point B, or that you decide, okay, well, you know, I want to be in the music industry on another side because singing is one route in, but that's not the route that, you know, I was most gifted with. So yeah, I think it's definitely a combination. I mean, I think now if I was to decide tomorrow I want to be, you know, a soccer star, it's a little late for me to get started on that, whether I have the talent or not. But I think when you kind of figure out where your excitement can be intertwined with what makes you most, you know, what you're good at, or, you know, what your talent might be, that can be quite powerful. I also think that, you know, we could have a multitude of talents, and I think our passion maybe helps us to drive into one area versus another.
Definitely. And so kind of going off of that, especially when it comes to, you know, talents, I find that it's easy to just play this comparison game, right? And focus on others and, you know, some things that they may be just naturally better at than us. And sometimes if we focus so much on that, it can have a toll on us. It can change our mood, our feelings, really our motivation in a sense. And so how can we prevent comparison to, you know, sort of get the best of us?
I think comparison is natural. So it's definitely something that flows through everyone's mind in some way or another. I think it's important to recognize that we are all unique, and, you know, our ideas are all unique in some way. And so comparison definitely is the thief of joy. And I try not to spend too much energy doing it in a non-productive way. So if you are comparing in the sense of, like, you know, doing market research or understanding where you can have further learnings, then I think that that's great. But if you're kind of comparing, you know, one person's skill set to another without the full context and background information, I definitely think it can be not as productive. It's tough in this day and age because so many things are public, they're online. When I was growing up, sound really old, but, you know, years ago, we didn't really have social media. Even, you know, looking things up on Google was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And now there's just so much information that's readily available. It's so much easier to compare yourself because you can literally, you know, Google search whatever you're trying to compare or look at it on social media. And so it's more readily available, which I think makes the temptation even higher and it more tough sometimes to distance that. I would say, you know, another thing is, most successful people are not successful on their own. So, you know, they do have a team behind them. And I think, you know, being really self-aware about what you're good at, you know, what your goals are and how you can get support is really important, especially as a business owner. To a degree, you know, in a small business, you are putting on a lot of hats, but that doesn't mean that, you know, every single hat you need to wear on your own. I think that's kind of a pro to having so many resources and being able to quickly Google, you know, how to do XYZ or, you know, to find something on the web that's a great middle ground versus having, you know, a set of employees. But I think, yeah, it's really tough for sure.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Comparison is the death of joy. And you know, if we focus so much on that, it will take over us. And so I think you bring up really great point with making sure that we're also, you know, we have people around us too that can help, and there's a lot more that goes into that. So what advice would you share with those that are, you know, kind of struggling to identify their passion?
I would say try everything. I think this doesn't just go for passion, it goes for a career. Kind of trying to figure out what you want to do in your life in a lot of senses, whether that be like an adult hobby. But yeah, I would say try new things and take stock of what you do like and what you don't like. You know, obviously there's admin work with any sort of job, whether it be content creating and blogging or, you know, kind of a standard more functional 9-to-5 position. There's always going to be elements to a particular role that are maybe not as exciting. But if at your core, you know, you really are loving what you do, or you're excited by the prospect of kind of like what you're learning and where you could go, I think that's really important. Also, again, I think, you know, we change as human beings as we have different experiences, meet new people, and just go through different stages of our lives. So continue to be open to new things and just changes and the way that things can shift as, you know, you grow as a person and learn different things too. But yeah, I would say, you know, I kind of discovered my passion by thinking it was one thing, trying that, and then deciding, you know, maybe it wasn't quite that, but I, you know, I would try something else. And I think along the way, you really start to step into what it actually is. Mm-hmm. But the more you try things, the more you have clarity, because you can't really know, you know, until you're in it.
Right. And kind of going off of that, what would you say prevents people from really pursuing their passion or even something that they want to start off. Like maybe it's just launching a business or starting a blog, something as simple as that. Failure and things like that just start taking over their mind. And so what are some things that you have found that prevent people from pursuing their passion, and how do we overcome that?
There are so many things that stop people from pursuing their passions. I think time is a big one, to your point. You know, burnout is a concern. So if you already feel like you're at capacity, you don't want to add something more onto your plate. I think the fear of failure is a huge one. It's so hard to know. How something is going to go until you put it out into the world. And it's tough, even if you've researched it thoroughly, planned it really well, to know that it'll be successful. And I think, you know, the third piece of that is we're also cognizant, to your point, around comparison and what everyone else is doing. So I think there's a lot of not only fear of failure, but fear that, you know, it's been done before or we won't be able to do it as well. And so I think what has helped me is really something that I got from the Side Hustle Pro podcast I was listening to some months back. And it's really, you know, if not me, then who? So when you're thinking about whatever idea it is, you know, if you feel like you have the skill set and the talent to pursue it, then definitely don't stand in your own way. I think at the end of the day, that's one of the biggest roadblocks that we end up not being able to overcome. So, you know, you can do the research, you can put together, you know, a bit of money, but if you feel like, you know, you're in your own way, then that's going to be something that ultimately I think usually causes people to get paralyzed. And so, you know, if not you, then who else, you know, will put this idea to market? And then I also kind of reflect on how I would feel if somebody launched an idea that I'd been thinking about for 3 to 5 years. And I feel like, you know, you hear so many people say of like, oh, you know, I thought of that or what have you. And it's just, they didn't, you know, they didn't bring it to market. They held themselves back or, you know, they didn't think through the details in a timely enough way. So I would say, yeah, definitely be mindful of standing in your own way. But of course, you know what you're doing in the sense of like being mindful and doing your research, of course.
Right. And some of the things that you even mentioned, you know, just time, the fear of failure, comparison, and, you know, thinking that it's been done before. Those are some things that I definitely have experienced, and I know a lot of people that have kind of experienced that as well. But I think you're right. You know, if not me, then who? You need to have confidence in what you're doing. If you have talents, if you have something that's driving you, you know, regardless of what you think is holding you back, you need to have the confidence to keep moving forward. Because if it doesn't go well, there's still a lot that you can learn through that. And the biggest thing too is you took a chance on yourself, right? And you worked hard through that. So I think that's all fantastic advice that you shared.
Yeah, I think in terms of time too, you know, there are only 24 hours in the day, but there are some things that, you know, you're uniquely able to do, some you can help with. And I think there is time that can be made if it is a priority. So I do like to think about, you know, priorities and sacrifice. You can't do everything. But if this idea or this thought is important to you, then definitely spending some time with it, I think, is important.
Couldn't agree more. I think we would like to do everything, and sometimes we can fall into a habit of thinking that we can, but you're right. It also takes discipline to make sure that you're prioritizing what actually needs to get done, and what are some of the most effective things you can do to actually reach your passion and hit your goals. So as I was looking through some of your blogs on travel, I certainly was definitely sort of inspired by that. Traveling is something that I definitely want to get more into. I love seeing pictures, and some of the traveling I've done in the States have just been some of the best times. So I'm curious, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned just through traveling?
There's honestly so many. I think keeping an open mind is really important. Whether you're going to somewhere in the U.S. or abroad, it's just so important when you're going somewhere new to not necessarily expect where you've come from. And I found that also kind of lends to some of the most magical experiences. I would say, you know, to don't underestimate how much you can kind of expand your mind, even if you're not going that far. There are some incredible places within the United States, and we have a lot to offer for sure. That's you know, something that I've kind of been thinking about more within the current time where some travel is limited. And I'm a huge proponent of solo trips, being able to kind of just get up and go. Obviously, you know, do your research and be safe and all of that stuff. And of course, in this current time, be mindful of, you know, your impact on the local population. But I'm a huge advocate for the self-work and reflection and stuff that can be done when you're traveling solo.
Definitely. I think there's traveling solo, there's a lot that you can also learn as to, you know, you learn how to be independent. And I think that's a big skill to have wherever you, you know, you pursue in the future.
Totally.
So are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share before we conclude?
I feel like we covered a lot. I would say, you know, it is definitely challenging at times to believe in yourself. I feel like it's one of the biggest cliches, and it's definitely harder said than done. But I feel like, you know, finding tactical ways to reach your goals and to kind of stay on task with figuring out what your passions are and how you can kind of cultivate those even more is super important. And I think, you know, a lot of times people like idealize being an entrepreneur and it's amazing, but it definitely is tough. I would say, you know, wherever you are in your career or wherever you are within your educational journey, there's so much that you can learn, you know, where you're currently at that can definitely propel you into whatever future you imagine. So I would say I definitely get the most.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more on that. Is passion's ultimately what's going to be driving you, and whether you're launching a business or just a student, you know, finishing up college. And that's, you know, when difficulties arise, and they will arise, that's what's going to keep you on track. So Kira, thanks again. I really appreciate your time just coming onto my podcast, and your advice have just been very helpful. So thanks so much, and I hope all the best to you. Listeners, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us via LinkedIn. And I also highly recommend checking out Kira's brand and blog, and you can do that by going to her website, www.bykwest.com. With that, thank you everyone so much for listening, and have a great day.